suddenly stopped moving, Kesh loosened his grip. He finished his feast, then slid himself out of her. He liked to stay inside the women while he took their life. Kesh rolled off of her and climbed off of his tall black four-poster bed. He found his way out of the black mesh drapes that hung from each bedpost.
Weakling,
he mumbled, using his forearm to wipe the blood from his face and mouth.
Even taste weak,
he complained. Kesh put on a pair of brown slacks before walking over to the antique glass top bar in the far corner of his room. He scanned his choices.
Something strong,
he said aloud to himself. He picked up a bottle of vintage scotch.
You'll do.
He poured himself a double shot and took it straight to the head.
Ugh.
Kesh said and winced, feeling the libation lighten up his chest and stomach. It still wasn't enough to soothe his longing. He was bored being king of his clan. He could have any woman of his kind that he wanted, but Kesh thought they were all weak. He wanted a challenge, someone strong and intriguing. He walked over to his old platinum treasure chest, bent down in front of it, and opened it. In the dark room, the contents lit up like Christmas lights. Kesh reached down into the purple velvet-lined chest and picked up the tiny gooseneck bottle. He held it up to his face, examined the contents, and let out an exasperated breath. He'd had the elixir for years now, but what good was it? A tiny drop of the liquid had the power to take over the strongest mind. The rules said it could be used only on humans and not on others like him.
I guess I'll never get to use it,
he whispered.
They're all so easy without it. I haven't met a solid, strong one yet.
Kesh sighed at the thought. Over the years since his making, he'd watched women fight for the right to vote, fight for the right to work and get equal pay, fight for the right to have abortions and lead an entire feminist movement, and yet he couldn't find a woman who could challenge him enough to be his queen. Women swooned over him and competed for his time and attention. He wanted one who wouldn't be so easy, so boring. A loud knock at the door interrupted Kesh's thoughts. He quickly put the bottle back in the chest and closed it.
Who is it?
He called out.
It's me.
Teeve, come in.
Teeve, Kesh's best friend and second in command, entered the room and immediately shook his head.
I thought you liked her,
Teeve asked, looking over at the limp, pale leg hanging off of the side of the bed. Kesh shook his head and shrugged.
I thought so, too. It's been 100 years, brother. When are you going to, as mortals say, settle down with a companion? Is anyone going to be good enough?
Kesh looked over at his beautiful victim and smirked.
I don't know, Teeve. I guess when I find the one. Well, hurry up. The longer you're without a mate, the easier it is for them to attack us again. Our fate depends on it,
Teeve said seriously. Kesh rubbed his chin, contemplating what his friend had said. Teeve was right. In their world, a true king had a mate. Although she carried muted powers and had limited control, the queen, they all knew, gave the king his strength. It was the queen who kept the king's needs fed and who stopped at nothing to protect him and his entire following. But that meant whoever was chosen to be queen had to be strong, too. Kesh knew he hadn't found the one yet.
Is everyone ready to move?
Kesh asked, changing the subject. He'd had this conversation with Teeve a million times.
Yes, I told them all tonight. Have you decided where?
Kesh turned toward Teeve.
We're going back to where it all started for me. North Carolina. Raleigh, North Carolina.
Chapter 1. Adira sang along to Whitney Houston's Greatest Love of All as the engine in her beat-up 1999 Honda Accord sputtered and hissed across the North Carolina state line.
Finally!
Adira yelled over the music.
I made it!
She'd been driving for 15 hours from New York City and had stopped...